Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ Bienemy joining us in studio. DJ covers the Houston Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You've seen him everywhere this offseason. Sports Center, been on with Mina Kimes.
L. Duncan.
L. Duncan, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannah Storm, L. Duncan, Mina Kimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, not too bad.
Yeah, it's been good.
Well, not us, Scrubs.
Yeah, now you got to slum it with the Killer Bees.
not a slum.
We were just talking about like top storylines for tonight's game, players with the most to prove. Who do you think has the most? Look, it's preseason game number two. There's still time after today, and we do probably put way too much emphasis on the game versus like what they're showing in practices and things like that. Totally believe that. But who do you think has the most to prove tonight? What is the top storyline you're looking forward to?
I just want to see how the offensive tackles perform. Obviously, no Laramie, no Titus, but just based off of what we've seen for the past couple of years, like the Texans' backup tackles will play. At a certain point or not, like that's just kind of how it's gone throughout, you know, Titus and Laramie's career, unfortunately. But I want to see how they perform, right? Because, you know, throughout camp, they've obviously had their struggles at times with, again, it is Will and Danielle Hunter. So it's understandable that Blake Fisher, second round pick out of Notre Dame, isn't going to be up to snuff against Will Anderson or Danielle or the backup right tackle as of right now, Nick, I think Brooker, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have those two. I want to see how those two perform against, even though the Steelers aren't playing much of their starters, but I want to see how they do against other edge, mainly because, you know, if they get thrown in a game, they got to be able to hold it down. Last year, when Titus missed a lot of time, what helped was the fact that you could throw in George Fant, who was a legitimate NFL starting caliber tackle that at one point almost got an extension from the Jets in the offseason of 2022. So, in all honesty, I want to see how those two hold up, because if Laramie has to miss any time, if Titus has to miss any time, that could derail the season.
Let's talk a little bit about that from a different position group, DJ. Let's talk about Pierce. Let's talk about the fact that everybody's been talking about him now that this year, after kind of a throwaway season a year ago, that he looks good, he looks quicker, he looks like he can fit the system. That was one of the guys on my list that I'm really going to be paying attention to, because I did say before camp, I thought the number two running back on this team wasn't on the roster yet, and whether Cam Akers was the first guy or not, he might not be the last guy, and a lot kind of hinges on Pierce.
Yeah. We'll see if what we've seen in practice can translate into a game. He has looked quicker. He looks a little bit more like the Pierce from his rookie season. However, you know, there's still times where, you know, the vision, I guess you could say, sometimes can be a little bit of an issue, but I would say, how much is that the offensive line without Laramie and at times without Titus going against that defensive line? Because the defensive line does look good. I think what we've seen in our practice, that looks transferable into the regular season. So I want to see Damian against a new defensive line along with the offensive line against another defensive line. Even though, again, TJ Watt's not playing, Highsmith isn't playing, but still, Cam, you know, it is what it is, but I still want to see them against a different comp, because if they can't run the ball effectively this season, because the way it's trending, we're going to see a decent amount of Damian, right? Like, Joe Mixon hasn't practiced since the first practice. Right. And it's a soft tissue injury, which those don't just magically go away, right? Those are going to sometimes linger throughout the season. So you're not going to see a scenario where they're kind of monitoring Joe Mixon's pitch count throughout the season at times, maybe ramping it up back towards the back half. So we're going to see a decent amount of Damian. So I want to see how he does in this spot.
DJ Bienemy joining us in studio. You can follow him on Twitter at DJ Bienemy. Covers the Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. I think the most crowded room is the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
I think it's an opinion shared by many. Mechie's looked good at camp, according to reports. Hutchinson's looked good in preseason game number one and his rookie year. Hutchinson outplayed Mechie in the regular season last year. Now, there were some reasons as to why Mechie maybe didn't have the performance of Hutchinson, of course, coming off of leukemia and all of that. But how do you see this wide receiver room shaping up right now?
I wouldn't say that Hutch outperformed Mechie last year. I think Hutch had under 100 yards receiving. But I would say it's getting tricky. I was all in. John Mechie's making the team.
You and I talked about it.
I can no longer say I'm all in on that. Like this past week in Cleveland was not good. And then I think the previous week, you know, again, the game obviously wasn't up to his standard. And he's kind of faded a little bit to the point where, like, there's times where he runs with a third team offense, right? And again, like, it could be just a little bit of rotation. Like, he runs with the twos and threes, but he hasn't got as many reps with the ones as he did at the beginning of the training camp. And I pay attention to all of that. No matter what coaches say, da 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 da, like, where receivers run, which teams, that signifies where they're going to be. And again, he's run more with the twos and threes. Twos more than threes, but still he gets run with the threes. And I think what's even more concerning at times is when he's with the threes, not necessarily making plays. Mm-hmm. And it's like that, you know, the draft status can only hold so much weight, right? And the thing is, like, you can't even think about bringing him back on practice squad because Mechie gets cut, he's going to get picked up immediately. So if they cut him, that would mean like they're kind of writing the, you know, the final chapter in that book, which would be unfortunate. For me, but you know, right now, cause I think, you know, I thought he had no shot at making it, but Ben has a decent shot at making it. Cause like he just made more plays in practice, right? Like, and they did give up assets for him, even though some 7-round pick and 7-round picks are like pennies, but he has made more plays. So I've been kind of like, I don't know anymore, where before I was like, oh, now he's going to make it. And he started camp well. Now he's in a little bit of a slump. So I hope he can snap out of that and make some plays today, which could kind of get him back on track.
Well, let's talk about safety a little bit, because we've heard that Petrie's being moved to kind of the nickel corner. And then how does that affect? Does that say more about Bullock being a guy that they like? He made the play last week, the hit and the fumble, forced the fumble. Is he a guy that could step into those shoes and that's a guy we should be watching? Are the other safeties good enough? I've been very intrigued by Justin Simmons all offseason, was hoping that might be one of those late contracts they sign. But how do you see that with everything in the safeties now that you see Petrie playing nickel?
Yeah, so Petrie's played nickel the majority of camp. Like, it's just been him in the slot for the most part, whether matched up with Nico, Tank, Diggs. That's the kind of the spot he's been in, and I think he's going to be their starting nickel unless something unforeseen happens. At safety, it's been Eric Murray and Jimmy Ward. Bullock has been more with the second team. He hasn't gotten... You know, again, I pay attention to who gets reps where. Even though that might not be a great indication, the reason why, because last year Desmond King ran with the ones the entire camp and then got cut at the end. But Eric Murray's been with the starters. Bullock's been more with the second team. And that's kind of been their three is Jalen at nickel, Jimmy, Eric. And that's they just kind of been that rotation. And again, you know, there were some rumors that, you know, Justin Simmons, there was interest there, that yada, yada, yada. But obviously, like, you know, Texans kind of refuted that pretty quickly. The DC, Mac Burke, saying we lack our safety room, and kind of doubled down on the initial report that I had that they never offered them a contract and that they liked their safety room. And obviously, Matt Burke doubled out on that. So I think right now I could see a scenario where Bullock eventually works into the starting line, because, again, like, there's more upside with him out there. Because, again, there's two safeties are Eric Murray and Jimmy Ward, and they're a little bit older, and you never know. Like, it might be better to get somebody younger out there who has more upside, because Bullock does have some upside. He caught a pick six, I think, on – it had to be Tuesday, because Monday the offense, you know, dominated, and Tuesday, boy, they got their teeth kicked in. That was nasty work. I ain't going to lie. It was nasty. They were there. I'm talking about, like, the ball hit the ground a lot. I'll say that much. And, again, like, Stingley had two interceptions. Bullock obviously had the pick six on Davis Mills. So, yeah, I would say the safety room, I wouldn't say it's fluid. I would say it's pretty solid right now. I don't necessarily see too much changing in that aspect. But if Bullock continues to play well, like, Eric Murray is used to being a backup. So it's not like you can't put Bullock in there and, you know, Eric Murray will be upset that he's no longer a starter.
I'm very intrigued about the Stephon Diggs saga, if you want to call it that, because you look at what happened in Buffalo, and like they traded him when it cost them more money to trade him than just keep him.
Right.
You had Josh Allen that was asked the question about, do you miss Diggs? And it took him a long time to really say nothing. You had the quote from Sean McDermott the day after. How do you feel about this wide receiver room? I feel like we're unselfish in there. Mm-hmm. But then you hear all the Texans, oh, we love Stephon Diggs. What a leader he's been. Wouldn't shock me if he's a captain. D'Amico going on with Kay Adams. This guy is a leader. Who is Stephon Diggs?
That's a good question. I would say, like, from what I've seen so far, I think the reason why Diggs ends up wearing his welcome out is because he's ultra competitive and he wants to win, like, badly. And it's like, if you everybody isn't on that same page, then he's going to make, like, he's going to let you know that that upsets him. Because, again, what I've seen in practice from the leadership, guys gravitate towards him, the competitive fire. I remember there was a play, I think it might have been, like, the second day when fans were out there, where he caught, like, a spot route in the red zone on, like, the 5-ish yard line, made a linebacker miss, and then dove into the end zone while he had Kamari Lassiter and I think Jimmy Ward coming in. And usually they just tag off, but he dove and, like, was trying to lower his shoulder into those guys and got him in flexed. So that's just kind of who he is. Like, he's ultra competitive. I think it was Monday when Jalen Petrie and Diggs are arguing back and forth. And there's the arguing back and forth, but it was more of a competitive argument, not necessarily like they're mad at each other, but more like Diggs saying, "You can't guard me." Petrie saying, "You strapped up, one. You strapped up." You know, saying, "One, you strapped," and he just kept yelling that. So I think when it comes to Diggs, he has to be in an environment where dogs, like that dog personality, is truly accepted. Not every place is comfortable with it. Like, a true alpha. He has a true alpha personality. And I think this place is built for that, because CJ has an alpha personality. D'Amico has an alpha personality. And that's not me saying, like, Josh Allen doesn't have that or Sean McDermott doesn't have that. But clearly over there in Buffalo, and you can say a little bit in with the Vikings, there weren't enough dogs. And I feel like over here, there's enough dogs to where, like, that can be appreciated, while also people, because again, this team's fairly young too, right? Like, a lot of the receivers look up to Diggs. A lot of them watch Diggs in college, you know, when he was in college. Shoot, I watched Diggs when I was in college. And you have some of the DBs, like, think about the starters. You have Stingley, you have Jalen, and you have Kamari. All of them are either in year three or younger, right? Like, I think Jalen might be the oldest at, like, 25. And then obviously in the safety group, you got Jimmy Ward, Eric Murray. They've been around. They respect what he brings to the table. So I think just overall, like, this team is built to handle a loud, strong personality like Diggs.
Let's talk a little bit about what we heard, what you said about the fact that the defense has been the dominant force in camp.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it the other day about how does that translate to how good this defense can be. You know, when you join us, we're talking about the offensive line and position groups and the offense and the defense and how high they can go in terms of league rankings and top tens and things like that. If we are to believe what we've heard and then how it's echoed through the national media as well, how good can this we know the offense is talented, has got all the weapons. How good can this defense be?
Yeah, I think we could be looking at potentially a top 10 unit. Again, like, Stingley looks like he's going to be in an argument for number one corner in the league. The way he's been practicing, the way he's been looking, if he stays healthy, he's going to be in an argument. Because his game is going to take the ball away, and people love cornerbacks to take the ball away, and those guys always get propped up just a little bit more as long as they're, you know, solid in coverage. And he's been really good in coverage. Like, I know you guys noticed, right? We haven't heard the name Tank a lot in training camp. That's because he's been going against Stingley. And Stingley, for the most part, has blanketed him, right? Like, Stingley's caught 4 interceptions in training camp, and 3 of them have been while guarding Tank. A go ball and 2 out routes. He's erased Tank, and Tank is a really good receiver. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing that to a guy like him, imagine what he's going to do. Because again, Tank's play style is, I don't want to say it's one that kind of gives Stingley trouble. I wouldn't say that, but those are the type of guys that can, like, you know, make plays happen. And we saw what he did at the end of the season against Amari Cooper. So if he stays healthy, we're talking about a guy that can be in the defensive player of the year conversation, number one cornerback. Because I think if he plays to what he's looked like, that's only going to elevate the defense, and they're going to have, like, a top, you know, probably top 5-ish unit. Obviously, I said top 10, but I think top 10 is the floor right now. Based on where they looked, you have Aziz. He looks like a man possessed at times. The D-line looks really good against against the run. We'll see in terms of, like, pass protection, in the pass, mainly because I'm not, like, sure about the D-tackles, and D-tackles matter so much when it comes to rushing the quarterback, especially in this game. So we'll see about that. But again, like, if Stingley, Will, Aziz, Daniil play like Pro Bowl level players, that's all you need to have a great, like look at all the great defenses. They all have like a dude at each level. You don't need dudes at like multiple spots in one level, but if you look at like Kansas City, they had a dude on the D-line. They had two dudes at corner, and they had a dude at linebacker, you know? And if you have that across the board, same with the Ravens. You had Kyle Hamilton, Raekwon Smith, and then at the tackle, you had Justin. They had dudes at different spots across the defense, and that's all you need to have a great very good to great defense. So I think the way it's looking, if Stingley continues that, Aziz continues that, and then one Will or Daniil looks like the guy, we're talking about potential top five unit.
Just be solid everywhere else.
Yeah. Exactly.
Have star power, just be solid. Like not to call them role players, but just solid production.
Right, with the stars.
And you could be really, really good. Yeah. DJ's going to be joining us every Friday during the NFL season. This is our first visit. Appreciate you coming in, DJ, and enjoy the game tonight. I guess the rest of training camp.
I'm ready for it to all be over.
Yeah. Ready for the season or the preseason?
I'm ready for this season.
DJ Bieniemy joining us here live and in studio. There is some drama elsewhere in the NFL. What's up with Brandon Ayuk? And then the CeeDee Lamb drama in Dallas is getting out of hand, too. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter, DJ Bieniemy, great guest. Great. He is. That's why he's going to be here each and every week during the football season. Covers the Texans better than anybody for ESPN, ESPN.com. Ocho, the question is, does Diggs want to win for the team or for himself? My eyes tell me it's for himself, and that's the problem. Diggs only cares about winning when he's the focal point. Otherwise, he's a problem.
Well, look, I think it can be both, but I think that if, you know, as a professional athlete with a contract coming up, you obviously are thinking about yourself and your well-being and your livelihood and getting another contract. But as it relates to what DJ said, the fact is that he looks like he's a leader. He looks like he wants to win. He wants to compete hard. So even if he is focused on doing the best for himself, it can benefit the team. But I think that he seems like for this year, and probably because of the fact that he also has to prove he's a good teammate, I think you're going to get the best of both worlds with all of it.
Yeah, I mean, looking out for yourself, though, can be detrimental.
It can be, yes. It
actually, more times than not, it would be detrimental.
Over the long haul. I think over the course of a longer situation. But if this is just a 1 year, or in this specific 1 year coming up, in this one season coming up, I think he's going to be on his best behavior. I don't think he's going to go AWOL or go crazy or do the sideline things he did in Buffalo. And I think that he knows that he has to do that. He has to be a good camper and play good football to get what he wants, regardless if it's here or somewhere else. And I think that's why they did what they did with the contract.
I think that I like the way that DJ summed it up, though. It's like he's this uber competitive guy that is very intense and that over time can wear out its welcome. But I would say that the Texans have a lot of guys like that. They have a lot of guys who are intense, uber competitive. The question becomes, will Diggs over time wear out that welcome like he wore it out other places? And he's on a one-year deal, so that kind of minimizes the risk there. At the same time, they did give up a second-round pick for a guy they're going to have for a year, and then kind of we'll see after that. There is some drama around the NFL when it comes to receivers. First off, the Jerry Jones thing with CeeDee Lamb, where he's like, I don't have a sense of urgency. I find this to all be very funny, by the way. I like drama on teams that are not mine, especially when they have star-level power like CeeDee Lamb. Jerry Jones is certainly a main character in the NFL. So you got some entertainment going on in Dallas. Jerry Jones saying nothing is zero sense of urgency with CeeDee Lamb. Paraphrase that a little bit. I don't think anything's going to come of it. People are like, oh, he's going to Kansas City for Rashee Rice and 2 firsts and all of this. Look, at the end of the day, the Cowboys are going to give CeeDee Lamb what he wants. CeeDee Lamb's not going to miss a game. He's going to play for Dallas. And the reason that Jerry Jones doesn't have urgency is because he knows that. Jerry Jones knows the price that he has to pay for CeeDee Lamb, and he's going to do it before the regular season gets underway.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just that we've seen this with guys like Aaron Rodgers and other people, like even J.J. Watt to an extent, of they just can't stay out of the media and they love the attention. And Jerry saying what he said, the way he said it, got exactly what he loves and gets, and that is everyone talking about the tweet and the comment, and then CD responded and it all, you know, looks good for the drama of Dallas. But at the end of the day, Dallas literally can't afford to be without all three of those guys that they have to try and tie up in Micah Parsons, CD, and Dak. But there's no way in hell you're going to let Dak walk out the door because who's your best option? And the same should be said of CD Lamb. He's one of the best receivers in football, and you'd be absolutely out of your gourd if you let him walk. So you need to tie them up, and then you also do need to tie up Micah Parsons at some point in time too. But I think that he's not as much of a priority as how big a role those two guys on offense play.
It would be hilarious if Dak Prescott and CD Lamb did a joint holdout. It's never been done in the NFL, and AJ's a Cowboy fan. He's shaking his head no. But if they did a joint holdout, they're going to give in. If Dak and CD join forces and they're like, okay, we're not playing football until you re-sign both of us, what are they going to do? They're going to re-sign both of you. And I mean, they're going to eventually re-sign both of them anyways, but it would be hilarious if Dak Prescott and CD Lamb did a joint holdout.
Imagine how Jerry would react to that, because then they'd also throw back to, we're in go-for-it mode, even before free agency and everything, when they were in go-for-it mode. Well, now how are you going to go for it when your starting quarterback and your starting wide receiver are doing anything but going for it until they get their money? So you better go for your checkbook, and you better get it done, or you ain't going anywhere, which I don't think they're going anywhere.
Yeah, and then the AU stuff is getting interesting. Apparently, he had like a $32 million per year deal on the table from the Patriots, and he kind of balked at that because he doesn't want to be on the Patriots, according to reports. And then there's some reports today that San Francisco's trying to re-engage with Aiyuk and give him a long-term contract extension, in which Brandon Aiyuk has recently tweeted, or actually was on IG. He says, it's two options out there. Pick one and stop dropping reports. Simple. So Aiyuk's saying that the whole 49er contract situation is not real, at least according to his Instagram. Maybe that's some sort of contract negotiation ploy. Perhaps it is. But Aiyuk's denying that San Francisco has reopened the door for him to return.
So it's interesting, too, from the standpoint of who really thinks that they have the leverage here and are holding all the cards, because he obviously wants to get his money and doesn't sound like he wants to be back in San Francisco. But the teams dealing with the Niners know that they have to trade him. I mean, if that's the scenario, the way it's playing out, and I would think that they have some contact with him or his agent, too, in the process or however they're handling negotiations. The Niners don't have all the cards. They don't have the leverage, and they don't want to be left sitting there holding no deal, and he doesn't want to play there either. So I think it's interesting now to see it's kind of a game of chicken and who's going to give in and who's going to end up winning at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't know which way this is going to go. I could see him still playing in San Francisco. It seems like they're holding the Steelers, I don't want to say hostage, because I think that they're perfectly content just keeping Aiyuk if it came down to that. I think they're putting a very lofty offer out there. And, like, if you want to accept this, okay, like, we'll trade Aiyuk for this very high, lofty price tag. But if not, okay, we're going to call your bluff, Aiyuk. You're going to come play for us for another year, and then we'll worry about that in the offseason.
Yeah, because I think last year. Yeah, and what they have on their roster, I think that he's a better wide receiver than Debo. But at the same time, Debo, because of that offense and the value, they have a higher value on Debo than across the league. Because across the league, if you tried to trade Debo Samuels right now, he's not getting wide receiver one offers. He's not gonna, and he's not worth that kind of money to other teams, I don't think.
Yeah. 0979, just because y'all vanilla with no flavor, we built different. That's why there are no white boy superstars. That's why baseball has no major stars. There's been a lot of white quarterbacks that have been big stars, like Brady and Manning, and Christian McCaffrey's a pretty big star. So there is that.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. 3338, I love when people act like everyone should be team first when you know those Twitchers wouldn't take a pay cut at McDonald's to help the team. It's a good point. And then this one, I get content, but guys, can we let Diggs make a mistake first before we talk about his past every time you speak his name? No, because it's a major, it's something that hangs over his head.
Yeah, it's basically part of his resume. It's happened enough to where you can't just turn the other cheek and say, oh, that's nothing, there's nothing to see here. And the fact that just, what, a day or two ago, his old quarterback and his old coach were still talking about it. Yes, they were asked about it, but nonetheless, it's because it was a big enough issue that a guy that was had a massive role on that offense is no longer with them, and he can still play.
Yeah, Twitch is not too high on Diggs. Poor Marine, Diggs will mess this team up. King of Twitch, Diggs is going to yell at C.J. Stroud by week 4. What's an over-under of when Diggs yells at C.J. Stroud?
I think a lot depends on how the team plays early on, but I would say, honestly, you know what? I don't think he does it this year.
I don't either. I really don't. I think he's going to be on his best behavior because he's trying to get paid.
Yeah, I think that the only time you see those things, too, is if the team just falls flat on their face. And even still, like you said, I mean, he's playing for his money. I don't think you're going to see it.
Yeah, I don't think that we see it either. All right, is this guy a Red Sox or is he a – is Brian in there? I don't know if Brian's in there. Brian will tell us a little bit later whether he's a Red Sox or a – we'll find out what next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Found the Killer Bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Moments away from is he a Red Sox or is he a
member of the band Boston? As evidenced by the song playing.
0979. Brady retired. There will be no more white boy quarterbacks winning the Super Bowl. It's over.
That was a take. That was. I wonder if that's the same guy, but there was a caller to John Lance who went on this long take about how all the white boy quarterbacks were over, and then propped up Deshaun Watson because he threw for 1,000 yards in 6 games, which
now
is not good.
Mahomes is half white.
I was just going to say. That's what I was going to say. That could be half right.
Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. I mean,
well, I mean, they haven't won a Super Bowl, but Mahomes is the most decorated current quarterback.
Stafford's won a Super Bowl
Mahomes
recently.
Mahomes is half white.
Yeah. Stafford's won a Super Bowl recently.
White. Ocho Blankers, Diggs was pouting just last season when the Bills won 6 straight with less of his production. There was even a blow up on the sidelines. Then he dropped the pass that could have helped them beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. That is true. It was a deep bomb that he went right through his hands.
Okay, but that's also Ocho, was his contract up? No. I mean, he wasn't playing for it like he is now. And they made sure that he's playing for it.
He wanted a new deal though. Want a new deal.
Okay, but he didn't get it. So the stakes have been up by everything that's going on this season, as opposed to last year when he knew he was going to get paid and he had been too comfortable in that situation.
Yeah. All right. So a Red Sox player or a member of the band Boston?
Yeah, past or present, because the band's been around so long. But past or present member of the band Boston. All right. So first one up, Joel will be going first here. Cooper Criswell. Is that a Red Sox player or a member of the band Boston?
First, I want to always set this, like you failed to do when we played Who Said It. I always set this up to preface that I suck at this game.
You prefer me to say that you suck at the beginning of Who Said It?
No, but, you know, but I don't.
You walked right into that one.
I'm going to say he's a member of the group Boston.
Okay.
Pretty sure he's a relief pitcher or utility infielder. He's a member of the Boston Red Sox.
Jeremy is correct, and Joel, you're also correct. You suck at this. This is a member of the Boston Red Sox.
What position is he playing?
He's a relief pitcher.
He is a relief pitcher. I thought he might have been a utility guy, utility infielder type.
All right, number two, David Hamilton. Is that a member of the band Boston or a Red Sox player?
He sounds like a former president.
I did think about going Minutemen at one point, but I changed.
David Hamilton. I'll go Boston Red Sox. I don't know any members of the Boston band.
I don't either. I know that's actually surprising, but I don't.
I thought this would be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, no. I know some of their songs, but I don't know anything about their band or the guys in it.
What's your favorite Boston song?
More Than a Feeling.
Is that a Boston song?
It is.
I did not know that. I could not tell you one. I'm sure I've heard them, but I couldn't tell you one.
You sure have. I'll say a member of the group Boston.
That is a Red Sox infielder.
Nice. So, a reliever.
Yeah, J-Bone is 2 for 2. J-Bone is 2 for 2.
It's always awkward when people say that out loud.
I like to do it sometimes for the lulz. All right, number three, Joel is up first here. Jeff Neal.
Member of the group Boston.
We say that with a lot of conviction. And I can play defense now since I have a 2-0 lead. So I'll go member of the group Boston as well.
That is the current drummer for Boston.
Their current drummer? They're still alive? Drummer.
Yeah.
Not all of them, Jeremy.
Not all of them. Boston. I don't want to say anymore to spoil it. But
yeah, I don't remember the dude's name, but the lead singer is no longer with
So Boston's still a thing?
Yeah.
They're still
a
band? They're still together?
Yeah, they're
like
still
Journey
playing. They're
and
still
Styx,
touring.
And they're all still touring.
Those bands are together too?
They have two guys that sound like Steve Perry, the front man of Journey.
That's so weird.
And neither one of them is Steve Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess whatever sells.
Those bands all do one big tour each year that sells out like Cynthia Woods every year.
No, they're playing Minute Maid this year.
Are they playing Minute Maid this year?
Three of them. Journey, There's three bands.
Boston, Styx.
No, I think it's Styx.
Maybe REO Speedwagon.
I know Queen's still together because they have, what's his name? Is
Adam Lambert, but not Freddie Mercury because he's passed.
Yeah, but the rest of them are still there, right?
Yeah. But now, did you see, by the way, Neil Sean, who was the guitar player with Steve Perry for Journey? He's being sued by the other members of the band because of the fact that he had a $1.something million limit on the card, the credit card for the band Journey.
Okay.
He's blown through it. And they were going through all the expenses. He has like $15,000 a night for a hotel room, and he keeps charging more.
It's rock and roll, baby.
I guess.
It's rock and roll.
Rock and roll in 21 minutes.
All right. Quote four. Or not quote four. I'm forgetting about a different segment here. All right. Name four. Thomas Scholz. S-C-H-O-L-Z. This is Jeremy first.
That doesn't sound familiar. I will go a member of the band Boston.
I will too.
Yeah, that is the only original member still in the band Boston. He is the lead guitarist.
Are the other one, the lead guitarist is hot, but you need a fiddle in the band? Is that how
it goes? If you want to play a band in Texas, you better have a fiddle in the band, yeah.
Are any of them alive still, but just no longer in the band?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So there's some that are still kicking and screaming.
There's some that are dead. There's some that are alive, but not in the band. And then this guy is the only guy that's remaining from the original lineup.
Cool. I think I have one. But
you I'm sure you have. The lead singer, by the way, I know passed away in the last year. Mm. The original lead singer, but I don't know his name.
All right, next name, Joel first, Brad Delp.
Member of the group Boston.
Yeah, I've never heard this name, so I'm going to go a member of the group Boston as well.
That is correct. He's actually the original Boston singer for Boston who died, Joel, in 2007.
Oh, who's the guy he was talking about?
2007, okay. not last year.
Recently another guy from the band then died. But yeah.
How do you know that?
I saw it on the news.
They show that on the news?
Did Lisa cover this?
No, I don't think. No, not that kind of news. But, I mean, whether it was entertainment news or on one of the news shows, I saw that.
I didn't know you watched E!
Oh, God, I have no choice.
Oh, dear.
The wife puts it on.
I have no choice but to watch Bravo. Do you watch Entertainment Tonight?
That, too.
Entertainment Tonight?
She doesn't like Entertainment Tonight.
Why not?
I don't know.
Isn't that the one that...
she's worked with and around a couple of the people that host.
Oh, she doesn't like
them. Oh, there's some backstory there?
Yeah.
What's the one that former SportsCenter guy does now?
Oh, I think that is Entertainment Tonight.
Is that Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah, Kevin something.
Kevin Gandhi?
No. No.
I know who you're talking about,
guy.
Though.
There's a SportsCenter guy who does entertainment now.
Oh, Kevin.
Kevin something.
Yeah.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Kevin. That's Entertainment Tonight.
So do they have like another version of Entertainment Tonight on the other channel? Like, don't they show two, but like they're on two different channels? Like,
maybe.
One is Mario Lopez or whatever.
I don't know that he's working anymore.
Kevin Frazier.
Yep. That's it. Yeah.
So there's only one Entertainment. There's not like two of those same shows.
I think Mario works on something else. Okay. I this is never on in my house. My wife is not into it, so I couldn't tell you. But
I probably haven't seen Entertainment Tonight in 15 years.
It's on every night right after the news. It's on 6.
But you don't
6:30.
Watch it.
No, turn it off.
It sounds like you watch it.
No, believe me, whether it's on and I don't turn it off or not, it will be turned off.
So does E, the channel E, do they have E News?
Where they used to.
Like news on pop culture and stuff?
That's E.
Okay.
I also saw it on social media.
Know. No, I think Channel E, that's where the Kardashians aired, right?
Yeah, originally.
They used to. Now they've got a deal with one of the streaming services. Okay.
But that was the network they were on, right?
Yeah.
That was also the only channel.
The only thing I've ever watched on that channel was a show called The Suit back in the day.
I used to watch The Suit.
Yeah.
Joel McHale,
right.
He was the funniest of them.
Yeah, he was the only good one,
The Soup was good.
The Soup was good.
The Soup was great, yeah.
And then the guy that took over for Joel McHale, he's doing commercials and stuff now. But, yeah, he was actually pretty funny, too.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Yeah, I don't either.
Slightly skinnier guy, but same kind of look.
The Soup was hilarious.
Soup was great.
He would just do the best of every single, like, reality show that there was. And they would just make fun of everybody.
It was fantastic.
The Soup with Joel McHale was unbelievably good. That was a long time ago, though,
yeah,
right? That was like 20
was
years,
least,
maybe?
At least 10 years ago that it ended. Yeah,
it's been a while. But with McHale has probably been gone longer than that.
Because they had a reboot like 4 or 5 years ago with a female comedian. I don't remember her name.
Oh, she used to be on MTV.
Yeah, it only lasted for like a year. It wasn't very good. But yeah, with Joel, I think it ended maybe 2011 or so. It's been a while.
Didn't he have a sitcom that...
Community.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He did have Community.
And he has the current one now called Animal Control.
With the
Fox.
Animals, yep.
Yeah.
Community was all right, wasn't it?
It
had
it
multiple
was good.
Seasons.
6 seasons.
I would have guessed 5.
Yeah, they did 6. Well,
now
you're
he
not
and Jimmy
wrong
Fallon
because,
just do Password.
Because the 6th season was only on like this Yahoo streaming service. I don't think anyone saw it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they did technically
Yahoo
do 6 seasons.
Streaming service?
Yeah, no. I don't think it even exists anymore.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Neither does the show.
No one did. No one else did either.
Community aired on NBC.
Originally, yeah. And then, like I said, the last season was on that Yahoo streaming service.
So that was like after like Parks and Rec, wasn't it?
They actually crossed paths at the same time.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like 08 to 2013, something around there.
I'll occasionally watch Parks and Rec, like going to bed on
that's
Peacock
my favorite
or,
show. I love
Netflix. That's in the rotation. 30 Rock's in the rotation.
Yeah.
Like a show that you don't want to like invest in because you don't want to
fall
asleep.
Those three shows were all on. NBC at one point had 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, Community, and The Office all on the same time or all on the same night at the same time.
Seinfeld's in that rotation for me. Veep is in that rotation
Veep's
for me.
Curb, solid.
Although Curb's a hard show to fall asleep to.
I can see
that. Yeah, it's also like it can be pretty aggressive.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It's not like soothing. It's not one that you can like just like, you know, turn off your brain and then like slowly fall asleep. That's one that's difficult.
That's what the Olympics are for.
It's not live. I can't stand watching the Olympics when it's not live.
That's why it's easy to fall asleep to.
Yeah, I just can't turn it on by principle. Because it's not live. I already know the outcome. Like it's just why would I turn
it
on?
Even if it's a sport you didn't watch?
I'm not going to fall asleep to like archery or breakdancing.
Well, there's been some of the other things on the track that I didn't see live or had the chance to see live. When that's on, it's at least I don't know who's won, so at least I'll pay somewhat attention to it.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6 here.
Oh, we have more?
There's 2. Well, there's always 7.
Oh, I thought it was done. My bad.
No, we won already, fine. So it could be done.
We got 2 more. It won't take but a second. This will be who will this be first? This will be Jeremy. Rob Refsnyder.
That's a baseball
That's
player.
That's easy. It's a baseball player.
Okay, you're both correct. That is an outfielder for the Red Sox. And last one, number 7, David Sykes. Joel.
Member of the group Boston.
Sykes? No, I'll also say that. Yeah.
He is a former bass player for the band Boston.
I'm pretty sure I got all of them right.
I think he went perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Joel
game.
Missed the first 2 and then rallied.
I did what Frommer could not.
Hard enough. I suck at this game.
Well, let's get to all the mean things that you said to us during the week. There's still time. 713-780-3776. Mean text, tweets, whatever that you sent to us next. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Round 1 of Rock the Mic 2024 is underway. This is your chance to help us determine which 10 podcasts will advance to the second round.
It's time to ask you to vote.
Just go to the ESPN Houston YouTube channel to find the Rock the Mic playlist to see all the entries. Then like your favorite entries to show us who you think is the best. And while you're there, make sure to subscribe to our channel for all of our content.
Hit the button with the word subscribe in it.
That's ESPN Houston on YouTube.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Real quick, Ronel Blanco pitching today. What does Ronel Blanco do against the Sox? Boston.
5 2/3. Two.
Okay, yeah, take it. I'll take that. I thought he pitched really well against Tampa.
Yep.
I want to see him pitch well in back-to-back starts, kind of get going in the right direction again. Although I think he's been better than most people think in his last 3.
Him to go deeper in the game, but I think they're obviously paying attention too to how many pitches he throws and things. So.
Yeah, and he's not really a guy who goes deep into games anyways because he does walk a good amount and he throws a lot of pitches per at-bat. So I think you're right there with the innings pitch thing. I think that's a good call. You take that, Brian?
5 2/3, 2 innings, or 2 earned runs? Yeah, I would take that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would definitely hope for more innings, but I if that was what we walked away with, I'd be fine.
Yeah. All right, let's get to all the mean things that have been said to us, to others, texting in to us, tweeted. It's usually things that you text us or Twitch us. Which the Texters not too happy with the Twitchers. Twitchers not too happy with the Texters, which is always the case. This was earlier whenever we botched the Lance thing. We guessed Lance twice on who said it whenever Lance was not working this week, although he's been very active on social media while he's off of work. Get a life, Lance. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame nod, though, between he and Granato. That was worse than Jose Abreu's batting average with the Astros. That's how bad our performance was on Who Said It Today. Although we were 2 for 5. We were 400.
That would be great for Jose Abreu.
We got 40% right.
We've done that for 3 weeks in a row.
We got 40% right despite eliminating our chances for 2 entire questions.
Very true.
So I actually think that our performance is a little underrated. I think our performance is pretty good.
Jose Abreu.
Awareness rating, if this is Madden, pretty low. But the performance is good.
Yeah, we got 40% of questions right.
You got 66% of the questions you didn't throw away.
66.67, yeah, rounded up to 67, repeating the course.
Your one semester as a math major?
It's the reason I got the answer correct and you didn't, I guess. It's the thing I learned. I won't be watching any of the games, Texans-Astros, later tonight because of my stupid wife and dumb kids. What a shot at his dumb kids.
Brutal.
I mean, we can understand. No, I'm just kidding. It's a shot at both the kids and the wife. Both things are very, very mean to say.
And I'm sure that they didn't identify
stupid
themselves.
Stupid wife and dumb kids.
Narrowed it down to specify who it was.
Stupid wife and dumb kids, said the texter. If you watch a preseason game over an Astro game, you're a mouth-breathing idiot. That was King of Twitch. Earlier.
Shocker.
Which that's kind of directed at you two.
Yeah.
Not directed at me. You're watching one on a computer. That's hardly watching. I'm surprised you can get it up on the computer.
Wow. Leave that where it lies.
Your mind went there. J-Bone, you look like Emmett on the Lego movie. And Blankers looks like the anger emoji.
I don't know what Emmett looks like.
I think he's very good looking. Like you. He's very handsome and attractive and, you know, a 10 out of 10.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Emmett on the Lego movie is a delight. Used to be a model. Yeah, all those things.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. Do you think you look like the anger emoji, Blankers?
Sure.
Have you seen the movie, Joel?
No. I've never seen the movie.
No.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Even with kids, I haven't.
I was say, because I know the general assumption is you haven't seen it, but I thought maybe with kids you'd have seen that one.
They didn't want to see that. What was the something two was the one that they just saw that?
Well, the second movie of that franchise just came out like a month ago.
I don't know, Invisible 2 or in something Invincible 2, but that's
Invisible
the one that they,
sounds like
they
a
wanted to see.
Scary movie.
No, it's not. That.
Invincible was the sports movie, right?
Yeah, about the South African rugby team.
Was that Invincible?
The Eagles player.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That was what was the other one's like Invictus or something?
Invictus, yeah, I confused it, yeah,
something like that. Next up, I like violence in sports. We've made that very clear. Branham was the guy in the bandana standing behind Tonya Harding after Nancy Kerrigan got hit with a crowbar. I wouldn't hit Nancy Kerrigan with a crowbar.
You just stand by and watch. Because you had the bounty.
Have you seen the movie Tonya?
I have not. I've heard it's good.
It is pretty good. I think it was nominated for some Oscars and stuff.
Well, it was. Best Supporting, I think, Actress for the Mom.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good movie. King of Twitch, Branham, wouldn't a cheaper salary save? Wouldn't a salary be cheaper for the franchise? This is in relation to us saying that John McClain gets paid by the Texans with media mills. And King of Twitch said, wouldn't a salary be cheaper than paying McClain with media mills?
Wow.
Pretty mean.
Very mean.
What's mean text? What'd you expect? Blank does that info dump so often, his finger had nothing to do with the conversation. This was the Brian Baldinger, the finger thing.
Oh.
When you brought up his finger, which is at like a 90-degree angle. I think it's nasty.
It's pretty gross.
You think he'd fix it?
I would think,
I think it's a badge of honor for some
There's
of those
guys.
There's
a couple guys, I think, ex-players that have that thing.
Yeah, who was the ex-Bengals tackle, the Hall of Famer?
Oh, yes, Anthony Munoz.
Yeah, he has a finger that goes off on like a 90-degree angle.
I don't think you could golf with that.
Be tough.
I don't think you could. I really don't think
you
could.
Is it your index finger?
No, it's just pinky, I think.
Oh, I think you could.
I don't know, man.
Why not? You just leave. That's the.
Because if you do an interlocking grip, good luck.
Well, it depends on which pinky finger. If it's
it does depend on the. But also, I mean, the pinky's pretty good for, you know, stabilizing the top hand. I don't know. That'd be tough to golf, I think.
It's like the guys that swing the baseball bat with the pinky finger down below the end of the bat. On the knob or below it.
Yeah, some people do that with the golf club too a little bit, but still, like, I mean,
so that's why I think if it's your backhand, I think you could do it.
Maybe. We don't know what we don't know. Is Blankers Chris Collinsworth? Here's a guy. I guess he says you use we don't know what we don't know a lot. I haven't noticed that.
Good to know.
Have you noticed that?
No, no.
You guys have made me conscious of literally, which I've used a lot lately. I know that.
Do you say literally a lot?
Well, I did on the auto racing, baseball game in the auto racing, and say literally, and then you
said
I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, I don't.
I do.
We did?
Yeah. I don't remember saying that.
Because I said it literally could be a car wreck. And you're like, they're not going to be hit by cars. I was like, oh, that's actually true.
Oh, that was yesterday. It wasn't the volume. It was more your usage.
No, yeah, but then I wasn't.
We were calling out the use of the word literally.
Yeah, I wasn't saying it from a volume perspective.
No. No, you guys mentioned that, and then I noticed that I used literally a couple times today.
Okay.
Poor Marine said all the ESPN 97.5 Rock the Mic audition sucked. None should win. Messed up, Poor Marine.
You'll have to watch their podcast if they do.
Maybe Poor Marine should have entered so bad.
Yeah, Poor Marine likes to stay behind a screen. Just kidding, Poor Marine. You sent me $50 yesterday, so. I love you, Poor.
There are others that like to do that.
My love can be bought. I do have a price. Everybody's a price for the Poor Marine. The Will House was a bunch of bums, you bums. He took a shot at two people, or five people. Took a shot at us, and he took a shot at the Will House, still catching strays all these months later. And then this guy's saying, Gallant and the producer are good. Joe George has zero on-air talent. That's not true. That's mean, and it's not true.
I miss BK and AC from the Will House.
Well, it's different mean text. We've moved on. Gallant and the producer.
Those are good guys.
You don't want to defend Joe George having zero on-air talent?
I'll defend Joe George, too.
Joe George has tons of on-air talent. Now, his takes, on the other hand.
Trade Fromber now.
Trade Fromber Valdez. It's been really good since then. All right, that does it for Mean Text, you jerks. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing half of the work. AJ doing all the hard work behind him.
Half your badness stats.
I am. I'm being nice. It's Friday. It's a getaway show. He's Blank on Branham. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. Talk about the Astros series in Boston and the Texans against the Steelers. Goodbye. Great weekend, all of you.
ESPN 97.5.